I want to ask you today, what do you do with questions of doubt? When you maybe question whether or not you're really following the Lord, or sometimes we even question, am I really, truly saved? You know, some days you feel good, and most days, hopefully, you feel great. Then there are some days when you kind of can wonder, and you can think, you know, I just haven't been following the Lord like I need to. I haven't felt burdened to serve Him like I used to. I wonder if it's worn off. I wonder if I'm no longer following Him. I wonder if maybe it was all just fake in my life. I wonder if I'm really saved. And you can even wonder and say, you know, I feel the Holy Spirit in me. I know I'm saved and I'm following the Lord, but can I really trust? Do I really know what's going to happen either when I die or when Christ comes back? And that can kind of be a nervous question, because when Christ comes back, there's no time. There is absolutely no time to say, wait a minute, you know, let me get everything in order. When He comes, it's like that, and you better had everything in order, or it's too late. You ever wrestle with these kind of questions? You ever wonder, as you maybe face difficult times in your life, why it's happening? If the Lord really cares for me, if the Lord really loves me, why is He letting me face this? Or why does He allow me to continue to do this harm to myself in a certain type of sin, or in an inability to relate to a loved one maybe, and you know you shouldn't jump to conclusions, or you know how it is when you know the exact right thing to say to really hurt somebody, and afterwards you think to yourself, why does God allow me to continue to do these things that are so harmful? Why do we face trials and troubles and hardship and afflictions in our lives? Why do we face these questions of doubt? What do we do when we face them? I'd like to turn your attention to Romans chapter 5. And in verses 1 through 10, we're going to get, I hope, some answers to that. And we're going to see maybe God's heart for us in our lives. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and following says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at that right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now, Paul is building off of all that has gone on in the first four chapters, and he's saying, therefore, because we have salvation by faith, it is the grace of God, not from any works that we have done. Therefore, because of that, having been justified by faith, having been made and declared to be righteous for no other reason than we have accepted Jesus Christ in faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We obtain peace. Not only that, though, it's through Jesus Christ also that we have obtained our introduction, or our access, you might say, our access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We are able to live in and get into the grace that we have. And we exult, we boast, we glory in hope of the glory of God. Does that always come out true, though? Do you feel like you're in the grace of God sometimes or all the time? Sometimes we feel like, yeah, I'm in the grace of God. I mean, God's just blessing me. This is great. But when you face trials, when you face difficult times, do you feel like you're in the grace of God, or do you wish some grace would show up? When you're waiting for a job and you're watching your bank account shrink, do you feel like you're in the grace of the Lord, or do you feel like maybe He needs to show up with some fresh grace? When somebody's walking away from you, or you're having a problem in a relationship, do you feel like you're in the grace of the Lord, or maybe He needs to come in and intervene on your behalf? Paul says that not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. He says, not only do we exult in hope of the glory of God, now that we've entered into grace and we've received not just the grace that we live in, but also peace with God the Father. Now that we're at peace with Him, we're no longer His enemies, and we're walking along with Him. We exult in the glory of God. We boast in God's glory. Not only that, but we exult or we boast in our tribulations. We are on fire for the Lord throughout all our tribulations. And that word tribulations holds with it the idea of hardships that you face and sorrows and personal attacks. As we go through Scripture, that word tribulation pops up primarily in direction towards how the world treats the church. And you experience tribulation or trials or hardships or afflictions because of the way you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It can come through people flat out causing you harm because you're a Christian, which doesn't thankfully happen in our country, but it happens in many countries around the world. It can happen through people saying things about you because of your faith. But it can also creep up in the afflictions that we face in trying to follow the Lord. I hate to say it, but sometimes to go the way of the world would seem so much easier. And that's why the way of the world in Matthew is described as a wide highway. It is as wide as you need it to be. You don't have to think about going down that road. All you got to do is walk. And it is so wide, you'll get down that road just fine. But the path through Jesus Christ is described as a very narrow path. One that takes thought and focus to walk on. It takes determination to walk on it. Sometimes it's just easier to do things the way the world would do it, isn't it? Sometimes it's harder to show grace to a person when it would be so much easier just to tell them off. Sometimes it would be easier just to go ahead and cut across a few boundaries, maybe. You know, whether it's kids cutting across somebody else's property or a businessman cutting across a few legal or proper ethical ways of doing things. It's one and the same. It's just, I want to get there quicker. Who cares? Sometimes it's easier to do that. And so when we walk with the Lord, as we try to serve Him and live as He would have us to live, we can face tribulations and afflictions just in trying to live out the Christian life in our own selves. We can experience the affliction in our own hearts. And sometimes we can say it's not worth it. So it's hard to come up and join with Paul and say, oh yeah, we exult in our tribulations. But he's got a reason for boasting him. He doesn't like them for what they are in themselves. I mean, we're talking about a guy that was whipped, that was beaten, that was shipwrecked. He was stoned. They tried to kill him, and they thought they had, and they dragged him out of the city, and he got up and he walked back in. I don't think at any time he said, boy, that was the best stoning I ever had. I'm going to have to come back to this town. He didn't exult in the tribulation for and of itself. But he looked further ahead. And he exulted in the tribulation because of what it meant for him in his life. Because as he looked at it, as he suffered, he was completing the sufferings of Christ in his own body. Because Jesus Christ suffered at the hands of the world. He was spit upon, he was beaten, he was hung on a cross. Prior to all that, though, he was called all sorts of names and lies. Can you imagine being the Son of God and everywhere you go, there are these religious people telling you that you're blaspheming because you claim to be the Son of God? That would be like if we almost got to the point where we wanted to kill Tom Jr. because he claimed to be the son of Tom Sr. You know? Can you imagine how aggravating that would have to be? And he suffered it all his life, all his ministry. There were questions about, where do you come from? Who are you? And he said, I've told you, and I've told you, and I'm done telling you. And he suffered, and he suffered. And when we suffer, when we experience tribulations, if nothing else, we can take heart and say, well, at least I must be on the right path with God. Because if the world's against me, that means I'm right with God. If the devil is resisting me and attacking me, I don't know if I say this necessarily during the time, you know, but looking forward to when that happens or looking past it when it has happened, we can say, hey, if the devil's against me, I must be for the Lord right now. Because the devil is the type of person, he's not going to bother you if you're going his way. If you're doing what he wants you to do, he's going to be very happy with you. And he's going to let you continue to do it and enjoy doing it. And he'll probably help you out. But if you're trying to do what the Lord wants you to do, the devil doesn't like that. And when he sees something he doesn't like, he sends one of his demons at you to trip you up. And the world is the same way. You know, if you're living just like everybody else in the world, they'll be happy with you. They will. They might want to kill you later, but they'll be happy that you're going along the same way they are. As long as you don't get in their way, they're going to be happy with you, right? Try to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and ignore other people and stay out of the way. I mean, not being, you know, in their face or anything, and see if they don't still, if there are not still people who get upset with you for no other reason than you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can follow God, there's no problem with that. You can follow Allah, there's no problem with that. You can believe in Buddha or whoever you want to, there's no problem with that. But you follow and believe in Jesus Christ. People got issues with that. Even atheists, I think, really don't care so much about Buddha as they do Jesus Christ. And the God of the Bible is who they're really anti. So when we face tribulations and afflictions from the world, what Paul says is that's an encouragement that we are following the Lord. And he says not only that, but we know that tribulations, the afflictions we face, bring about perseverance. Now, tribulations in themselves don't bring about perseverance. But as you face the trials and the afflictions with the world, and you continue to try to follow the Lord, it develops within you perseverance, that you continue striving for Him. Does that make sense to you understand? I mean, it's not just a natural byproduct. It takes action on our parts that as we face these trials and afflictions that we actually continue to try to serve God. If you give in to them and say, forget it, I'm not bothering, that's you don't persevere and you don't develop perseverance. What happens then is you just walk away. But as we face these trials and as we still struggle to follow the Lord and we wonder, am I really following Him the right way? And I keep on getting up every day and I'm going to follow Him today. That produces perseverance. You persevere, even though you don't feel like it. You're still persevering. And that perseverance develops what the NAS, the New American Standard Bible, translates as proven character. And really what that means is as you persevere, whatever will come out of that tribulation is developed. And the idea of proven character is much in the same sense as, you know, when we have young men and women who decide they're going to join the military, they go off to a thing called boot camp. part of boot camp is teaching them how to live in the military way, but part of it also is to put them through tribulations and trials so that you can prove their character, so that hopefully if they have to go into combat, they're not going to run away and snap on you. And that's why the Marine Corps, with 13 weeks of boot camp, kind of looks at the Air Force and the Army, 6 weeks of boot camp, and laughs. And I remember talking to some Navy guys when they joined our unit over here at MAG 41 and NAS, and they needed combat boots. You want to talk about silly? This is a complete rabbit trail, but let's just go for it. You know, there I am saying, why do we need to issue you combat boots? Don't you already have combat boots? No, we don't. We were in the Navy. You know, they're corpsmen. They're coming in to join us. They're medical personnel. They're going to be corpsmen now. And I said, well, didn't you get them in boot camp? No. I said, well, what did you do for PT? They said, well, we put on tennis shoes and we ran in shorts. I said, yeah, but, you know, I could not get my mind around the idea of anybody going through boot camp without having to strap on boots and utes and run with their pack or run with an M16 on their back. It was beyond me. I could not comprehend that you could go through boot camp without ever getting out in the woods or out in the bush. You know, I was flabbergasted. Most of the corpsmen I've known, though, they had proven character by the end of it, I'll tell you that. But that's what we do. We experience these trials, and the end result is somebody with proven character. And then they're given the emblems and the uniforms of that service branch. And the people, and there are people that go through and they do not make it. And they don't get those emblems. They don't get those uniforms. They get kicked out, given a medical discharge, whatever they need. Get them out of here. They're not worthy. They don't get that ability to say, I've proven my character by going through this. Unfortunately, they have. It's just not the kind of character that we want in our uniforms. And it's the same way with the trials that we face as Christians. As we go and we face these difficult times. And it can be an external trial. It can be an internal trial. It can be spiritual. It can be physical. As we face these things and we go through these tribulations, as we develop perseverance, our character is proven. The question is are we proven to be of God or are we proven to be of somebody else? Do we follow in the sufferings of Jesus Christ and overcome? Or do they overcome us and change who we are? Back during the first Gulf War, a pilot got shot down, and I think he spent like 18 days. I'm completely going off the cuff on this one. I didn't look it up at all. I think he spent like 18 days in the desert. He actually had to pick up rocks and put them in his mouth to produce saliva. His teeth started falling out because he was so malnourished. And he made it. You know what would have been very foolish if, in the midst of those trials, if he had looked at himself and thought, well, I'm not ready to stand parade, pass and review. I don't have what it takes. Apparently, I'm not up to snuff. It's easy for us sometimes to look at the Christians that seem to have it all going on the outside, and to look at ourselves, and we know what we're facing. We know the tribulations and the hardships that we're going through, and we think, I'm just not cutting it. And there have been some times when I've been really low, and I've thought, am I ever going to be there again when I had it really good? And I always try to think about that story about that pilot. You know, he was going through amazing things that a lot of people couldn't have survived. And at his worst, when his teeth are falling out because his gums are receding because his body is trying to shut down on him. If you took him and tried to put him in a parade, he would look out of place. But at that point, he was going through trials and showing what his real, true, proven character was. And so as believers, it's not always about the nice show. You know, when they all come, I mean, you check your life at the door and you put on your mask when you come in, right? Wrong! It's not about that. Sometimes the ones that are going through the most trials and troubles, and you might think, what is wrong with this person? Why can't they just get it? Shame on us for thinking that sometimes. Because they might be going through the greatest struggles of anybody around us. and might be proving at that point that they have more character of the Lord Jesus Christ in them than anybody else. So it's hard when we start comparing ourselves like that. We need to just live for the Lord. And when you're going through the trials and you look at yourself and you think, man, I'm just not doing anything right. That's not the right response to it. That's not the right thing to take away from it. It's not, no, I'm not doing anything right. No, I am still resisting. And I am trying. And I am going to persevere. And I am going to come out the other end more in love with the Lord and more His person tomorrow than I am today. It's kind of like Job held on to his faith in the Lord even when everybody said, give it up, curse God and die. He said, though He slay me, yet will I hope in Him. This is what our trials do, and they bring out proven character. And the end of proven character is hope. That we know as we struggle and we continue to fight for following the Lord, He gives us hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within us, into our hearts, through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope doesn't disappoint because that Holy Spirit's still in there. And He encourages us. And we know that if God has saved us at one time, and this is what Paul goes in through for verses 6 and on into to really 9 and 10. And it's something that I've probably touched on in the past, so I'm going to go lightly on it as much as I can so I'm not too redundant. But if God has saved us in the past, that holds on today. Regardless of your circumstances today, if God saved you in the past, if you accepted His grace and His forgiveness through Jesus Christ on the cross, whatever you're facing today, as you struggle to follow the Lord, as you might feel afflictions from outside sources, the hope we have is it's still true. Even if I don't feel it all the times, it's still true. And the Holy Spirit has been given to me. And once the Holy Spirit's been given you, you don't give Him back. That's with you. He's with you. And as we face these trials and these difficulties, we hold on to the Lord and we continue to seek. And the greatest thing is that because when we were enemies, Christ died for us. And when we were enemies, God showed His grace to us. How much more now that we're in the trenches with Him and we're trying to serve Him and we're suffering on His behalf as we try to follow Him, just as Christ suffered on our behalf? How much more, if God gave us grace when we were His enemies, won't He give us grace now that we're His children and we're following Him? And not only that, as we look forward to the future, as we look forward to the time when we're going to die and have to meet our Maker, as we look forward to the time when Jesus Christ will come back and we'll have to stand before the great throne of judgment, and we can kind of wonder, did I do everything right? It's not about doing everything right. It's about accepting Jesus Christ who did everything right. And if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, how much more then, having been reconciled, will He not just also save us from the wrath to come? And so we have this hope that regardless of what we're facing today, we can remember and know we were saved. We can look to the future and know whatever I'm going through, sometime, someday, I am going to come out of it. This, whatever you're facing, is not permanent. Even if what you're facing is an illness that our doctors say we cannot cure, and even if it is something that will kill you in this life, it is not permanent. And whatever hardships, whatever challenges you face today, that you might face for the rest of your life, they're not permanent. What is permanent? What does last is the life we have in Jesus Christ. And as we struggle through these trials, these tribulations that we face, even ones that we will face for the rest of our lives here on earth, They are not permanent, and someday we will have victory over them. And whatever we experience now, we can know Christ has better for us in the future. And we have this hope because of the grace God showed us when we were His enemies. How much more grace is He going to show us now that we're His children? Sadly, we still face trials, don't we? Some of the trials are trials, honestly, we face solely because we follow Jesus Christ. If somebody told you, you accept Jesus Christ, your life will be okay, they were a liar. And I'm sorry they said it. Sometimes our lives actually get worse when we're following Jesus Christ. Tribulations come up against us, trials afflict us. Our own sin afflicts us. If you live in sin and you don't care about God, sin doesn't bother you that much, really. I mean, it can have negative effects, don't get me wrong. But I don't know a whole lot of people that don't believe in Jesus Christ that are worried about their thought life, necessarily, or whether or not they're using too harsh of words or these things. It's so much easier when you don't have to worry about a God in heaven. But deciding that He doesn't exist doesn't get rid of the living God. He exists. He's real. And if you're going to follow Him, there are forces in this world and there are forces in the spiritual world rolled around you that want to trip you up. And they will send you the most enticing things to trip you up. And they're going to send things that are going to make you say, why am I bothering with God? Why am I bothering with the church and these people? I'm just going to do what I want to do. And it's going to constantly try to trip you up. It can be afflictions just out of, you know, interpersonal troubles. I forget who said it to me recently, but somebody was saying, you know, you got 120 people in a church, you got 120 different ideas of how church should be. We can't help but have trouble. We can't help but have disagreements and trials within our own bodies and within our own families and within our own church body. But as we persevere, as we face those trials and we persevere and as we face the temptations that the devil sends our way and we persevere as we face the hardships that our lives bring us and we persevere and we continue to hope in Jesus Christ, it develops in us proven character. And that proven character, as we see ourselves growing, it gives us the hope and the knowledge. Someday, His grace will be sufficient. I will not suffer the wrath, and I will be redeemed. And I will be raised again. And I will be given a new body. And I will live with the Lord forever. I think, you know, we look at our trials, and we don't like them. We're ashamed of some of them. I think of the Apostle Peter. Denied Jesus 3 times, didn't he? And he was ashamed. I think it's amazing Jesus never said anything about it. But what did Jesus do on the side of the Sea of Galilee one morning? He asked Peter 3 times, Peter, do you love me? 3 denials, Jesus gave him 3 opportunities to affirm who he was. 3 denials, and Jesus said 3 times, gave him 3 times the opportunity to say, I love you, Lord. The trials that we face, even the ones that we're ashamed of, that we're embarrassed by, and that we wouldn't want everybody else in the world to know about, especially wouldn't want everybody else in the church to know about, I believe those are the trials and the temptations that God allows us to go through. Because He told the disciples, the devil wants to sift you. And I'm going to allow it to happen. And after you've been sifted, I want you to come back together. That experience of denying Christ 3 times, I believe, was a trial. And Peter ran as fast as his legs could take him to that tomb Sunday morning. He persevered even in the face of his great anguish in his heart. And it, I believe, gave him the proven character and the hope to then be the rock for the rest of the disciples and to be the one who would take a leadership role and to feed Jesus' lambs, to tend his sheep, to feed his sheep. Some of the trials that you are going through and you wonder, why is the Lord letting me face this? Doesn't he hate sin more than I do? Why does he let me continue in this sin? I'm not saying it's always the case, but I believe that God doesn't look at our sin the way we do. He hates it. He can't be in the same room with it. But he has conquered it. He sent his son to pay for sin. And he uses those trials that we face that we sometimes can be so ashamed of, he uses them to shape us and to do great things for him. And sometimes those things that we are most ashamed of in our own lives, the things that we don't want anybody else to know we're going through, they might just be the experience God wants us to have so that he can use us in mighty, mighty ways for his glory. So when you face trials, when you're facing sin, don't give in. Don't give up. Hold on tight to Christ. Remember his sufferings on your behalf. And know, even if you don't feel like it, tell yourself the truth that these things I am facing, I am going to get through them. And I'm going to be stronger for the Lord because of them. And I'm going to be more useful for him because of them. And I have a hope that is greater than what I face. And that hope is that Jesus Christ died for this. And that grace is still for me today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace you've shown us in our lives when we accepted you. We thank you, Lord, for the grace you show in our lives today. And Father, we thank you for the hope we have that your grace is sufficient, that it will cover all of our sins, that when we come to face you and as we even think about that time, we can be overcome with guilt, with fear, with worry of you're going to see all of our sins and you're going to judge all of our sins. Father, we thank you that your grace covers our sins, even at the final judgment, that Jesus Christ has paid for them, that we are yours. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us peace with you, that we were enemies and now we're your children. And we pray, Lord, as we follow you, as we experience the tribulation and the troubles and the trials that come with following you in a sinful world, we pray that we would persevere, that we would continue to follow after you, that you would prove in our hearts that we are your children, and that we would hold on to that hope that we have, Lord. And Father, we pray that if there is anyone here today who does not have that hope, maybe they're feeling engulfed by the trials, by temptations, maybe they're contemplating walking away from you. We pray, Lord, that they would hold on to your Son, Jesus Christ, that their faith would have roots and be real in their lives, that they would develop the proven character of a believer in Jesus Christ, and that they would have that hope of eternal salvation today, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.